We're looking. I want to look over here at this piece from the Sifsei Chaim. At least we'll touch some points on the Sifsei Chaim and see a piece from the Sasemis. So he brings a Chazal over here and make the Rav higher than they go to the Ruvain. So the Medrash says, "Gilam Atanas Nivru Barlam Zachar Bachas Behen Not Tochenas Kol Olam." So the phrase which Chazal are going to say is that when the Bereshit gives him a Matana, that is a window into a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the same way I can enter the relationship in multiple ways, in each one I have everything with the relationship represents. So Zachar B'Chachma, Zachar B'Kol, Zachar B'Gmura, Zachar B'Kol, Zachar B'Oysher, Zachar B'Kol. That's the matter starts off. So that itself, we have to talk about that a little bit, but that itself is a fascinating thought, that just getting Gevura, or just getting the Chosim, right? Oysher is Zachar B'Kol. Zachar B'Chachma, we sort of like we relate to that, right? In our world of Torah, we say Zachar B'Chachma, maybe, okay, but that also needs to explain it. If a person Zachar the Chachma, right? Zachar B'Kol, they got everything. So that we have a Gemara. The Gemara says, Da Kani Machaser. They made it into a song. Now people know the Gemara, right? So I get that. But this idea of Zocha, now Chochman Das are not the same thing. Let's using the word Chochman in the generic term, but okay. But clearly the matters are saying something more. When it says Zocha Bigvura, the person's very strong. Wow, he got everything. Really? That's it. That's all his life is, being Mr. America, 550 pounds, right? Okay. But Amosai, the matter continues. It's on the next page in the bold letters. Is man shem atanas shemayim ubaos b'chaycha Torah. This that we say that zochah be'osher, zochah be'kol, zochah be'gur, zochah be'kol, if it comes as a matanah min shemayim and it comes with b'chaycha Torah. So that's the Medrash. So Medav staying Rosh Teito. The problem over here is, so this is only true when it's a Matana Min HaShemayim. So what Matanas are not Min HaShemayim? What does it mean there's a Matana Min HaShemayim and Matana not Min HaShemayim? Everything's Min HaShemayim. So Yesh Lohabim Chiyesh Matana She'enom Min HaShemayim Ekoma She'esh Lohadam Hu Me'bar Yis Baruch. Okay? So what does it mean? Chazal say Gevur Asoy Bo Yishroi Shal Basar Vadam Ena Klum. Okay, so that's what the Medrash needs to, and then we have to understand what does it mean that the person was Zochah B'Achas Mehem, he's not a Chemnas Kol Olam. So Yishem is Zochah B'Kam B'Koch Ma'Gam B'Eshe Gam B'Gvura who Zochah B'Kol Chemnas Olam. He only gets one of the three. How does he get Chemnas Kol Olam? So what does the Medrash say? Okay. Fine. So what he suggests, this is a thought which is a running thought throughout a lot of Rav Dessler's machshava, and this Rav Friedland being a Talmud of Rav Dessler, is the idea of kalim, that the Russian gives a person kalim for a void in this world. Everything which we receive is kalim. It's the vehicle which through what allows us to accomplish to grow. So that's kalim. If a person sees what he's receiving as kalim and he uses it as kalim, so that's a vehicle for me to find my niche in Avodas Hashem. The Bereshit gave me a certain set of circumstances. That's the kalim that I have to work with. He talks about, he uses this idea to talk about the idea that that a tzaddik gets the portion of the Rasha. What does the tzaddik get the portion of the Rasha? The Rasha becomes the keli for the avodah of the tzaddik. The the Rasha as much as he challenges the Tzaddik. So Rav Avinu got the portion of Stern. Stern became the challenge to Rav Avinu. And Rav Avinu rises to the challenge. Meshuddah the Gazat, you think about Rav Avinu. Rav Avinu, imagine I'm in a community, I come in, I'm the rabbi, you know, I'm here, I'm trying to introduce to the community the importance of doing chesed, the importance of doing mitzvahs. And there's this fellow down the block who's busy proclaiming, don't do chesed, don't do mitzvahs. Right? An Amish, right? And everything I push A, he pushes B. It's they say in Yiddish, he's driving me crazy. Right? They hear one day that he's not well, he's sick. So I feel bad for him that he's sick, but Baruch Hashem, you know, the challenge is gone. So I say, no, I'm going to daven, he should get better. Like, really? You know, I can, you know, the Gemara says that there was this biryani in the Shavuot, the mayor. There were these wild people in the shoes of the mayor, which were entirely two, but were driving me crazy. See, he's dying, they should die. So Bria said to him, you can't say this. He says, sin should be eradicated from the world, not the sinners. So he died, they should do tshuva, like the tshuva. He says, hey, what should I do? He said, they should do tshuva. Right? But just to daven, they should get better and continue the same thing until now. Really? I finally got rid of this guy. I'm happy. You know? I hear he's moving out of town. I said, no, please stay. Right? So, Rasham comes and says, Stoim is going to be destroyed. Princess Rasham says, you want to destroy Stoim? Please, save Stoim. He says, no, there's nobody in this world. No, it's Kedai. You know, save him anyway. 50 people. Rasham says, no, there's no 50. He says, what about 45? You know? Like, I said, okay, Baruch Hashem, they're gone. You know, Stoim was mamash. Stoim was the hepech of Rav Avinu. His mama, he was... Right, so Stoim, so Rav Dessa writes, it says, L'chara, Stoim was a Chil Hashem. There was a group of people where Chazal say were Niskav and Libra, they intentionally went against the Kadosh Baruch. So if Roman was dying, they should live. So he says, the Kiddush Hashem, that Rosh was willing to accept the Tefillah of Rav Avinu and save these people, even though they don't deserve it, that the Kayach of Tefillah is so powerful, and the Kayach of Chesed of Ravina was so powerful, he was willing to do that, the Kiddush Hashem, which it would have accomplished, would have eradicated and overcame the Chil Hashem, because they would become a vehicle for Kiddush Hashem. That even such people, right, when you find such an idea by Menashe, it's a wild Chazal by Menashe. Right? So Menashe was captured by Melech Bavel, and they put him into an iron cauldron, and they started boiling the water. Right? So he's boiling. He's going to be boiled to death. So he starts praying to every Avodah Zara in the world. And none of them answer. Finally he says, you know, I remember that I was a little kid. I remember learning going with the cheder with my father. And they taught, when it's, everything is bad and you find all these service, you daven the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu will save you. And if Rosh Hashanah, you say that I don't deserve to be answered, I say kol apin shavim. All of, you're just like all of every other avodah zarah. You're just the same. Shikam b'chutzav tekundusav. Right? You should save me, and if you don't save me because you say I don't deserve it because I'm such a Rasha, you're the same as everybody else. So the Malachim heard this tefillah, and they said it's a chutzpah. They closed all of the arubas of Shemayim, all of the kaveh Shemaya, all of the openings of the Shemayim that this tefillah should not get in. What did Bershom do? Bershom made a special chatira taros kisei hakavod to let the tefillah in. And he was a kavod tefillah, and he saved him. And Ruach came and pulled him out of the cauldron, and brought him back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So the first Bnei Gemara is a plea tzumah that his nusach was kol apin shavim. I mean, you can't imagine a more mechutz tzedek nusach. He says the face of a person, the panim and the af, etc., is the vehicle to look in. Avodah Zorah is called, actually it's called Avodah Zorah because Zorim Avdehim. It's stuck in one. When I look at each person that I look at them, I get them, I understand them, I relate to them. So I have different faces. To one person, I have a face. It was a serious face, because that's, I'm getting what right now he needs that. To somebody else, I have a smiling face, etc. Avodah Zorah has the same face. It doesn't change. It's Zorah, it's called, Rashi says, one of the reasons, Elohim Acherim, they're called other gods, they're Acherim Ahim Avdehim. They ignore the Avdehim. So they're stuck in one version. Yes. Menashe is saying, if you're a Baruch Hashem, are stuck in one version, so then you're also limited. If others are so limited more than you are, but you're also limited. You can't, as it were, see approaches in a different angle. So you're saying that that my tefillah shouldn't be answered because I'm a Russia, means you have limits. So the voters have more limits, but then everybody's limited. If you're truly limitless, then my tefillah could also be answered. The person said, that's a good title. So at the end, what is Menashe saying? Menashe really is saying that the awareness of the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only come out if the Baruch Hu is able to be merciful to the worst Rush which ever lived. Come on. Right? I mean, we picture Menashe. So he killed his grandfather, he killed Yeshayahu Novi. Like, that's not a great claim to fame. Right? Chazal said that he went throughout Eretz Yisrael, he found every single Sefer Torah, he ripped out every single name of Hashem in every Sefer Torah and replaced it with the name of Avodah Zorah. I mean, that's a life's work, you know. Like, you got to be really dedicated over here to go find every single Sefer Torah, rip out every name of Hashem. There's a lot of names of Hashem in the Sefer Torah, you know, and replace everyone with Avodah Zorah. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know how you really rip things out, put back things at the Nasik, each one, you know, man, imagine to do that. You know, this is a 24/7 job. He's committed to this for 22 years. Right? But if the Rosh Hashanah can't answer him, the Rosh Hashanah is limited. The Kiddush Hashem of the Rosh Hashanah's answer, it wasn't a Chil Hashem, it was a Kiddush Hashem. That the Rosh Hashanah was able to answer even such a person because the Rosh Hashanah's power is limited, is limitless. Is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. So he became a vehicle for Kiddush Hashem. So mainly he has a right to be answered. Stone became a vehicle for Kiddush Hashem. That's it. They became a Keli. For Avraham Avinu's Avodah. Can you do chesed to people which don't really deserve it? So the people, there's different levels of not deserving it. There's stama an Arab in the street. I don't know. He deserves a chesed. No, okay. Yes, no. You know, I'll give him a chesed anyway. There's one group of people in the world who does not deserve chesed. But Stone. They deserve the opposite. Even them, you can do chesed. Avraham Avinu is about chesed. You can do chesed even for them. So they became a keli for Avraham Avinu's avodah. Rav Hirsch writes. So mele, they had a schus kiyum. Okay. And komash yesh al adam hu bein shemaim. Avot zark shal adam yovin shalchein zemat in the shemaim. Avot menu makasher bein hamatara zekibol lenoisein hamatara. Hashem yisbarach. Okay. Now, that's one. Next, let's skip a paragraph. So what does B'kach HaTorah mean? Klamer B'shvil HaTorah K'keilam Avodas Hashem. So if a person understands, I've been given a tremendous ability, I'm a very strong person. I have tremendous stamina, I can run, etc. So what am I supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to run marathons and make a lot of money, you know, I don't know. I'm going to get endorsements for Nike, you know, shoes, you know, right? That's all you can do with Gvura, right? What can you do with that? Why the Rosh will give you that keli? So I can come up with maybe other answers. I think I told you once over that the famous Meister Reb Chatzel Levenstein was here in America. I told you the story with the Babe Ruth, right? So Chatzel Levenstein was here in America after when he was with the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, and then when the Mir came to. After the war, a large contingent came to America. Some went there to Israel, but a large contingent came to America. So he came with the group which came to America. Reb Chaim Shalevitz went there to Israel. He came to America. After like 2 years here, he just was not very happy with America, and he left America. He just found that the tumah in America is too much. He went to Eretz Yisrael. While he was here in America, one day he walked in Beis Medrash, and there's this tremendous tumult going on in Beis Medrash. So he asked on the Bachram, like, what's going on? He says, so the Bachram weren't just his tzemeinah from the mirror. There was other Bachram in the yeshiva there. He says, Babe Ruth died. So who's Babe Ruth? He's a baseball player. What's baseball? Right? So imagine, you know, explain to Rav Chatzis Levenstein what baseball is, you know, like, you know. So he says, you know, you take a stick and you throw a ball at the stick and you hit the stick with the ball with the stick. And if it goes as far, he says, no, shkoyach, sounds very, major accomplishment in life. She says, so what they say about the Levi already? Like, what they say about the funeral? They said that he really hit a lot of balls. I'm like, really? What did you say? You know? So they said that he said, Babe Ruth's father abandoned him when he was very young. So he grew up without a father. See, he had a very soft spot for orphans. So he used to visit orphanages and spend time with the kids and make them, you know, they're all excited. The big hero came. So he used his status of a hero as a way to help orphans. So Reb Chatzis said to the Bachram, he says, so Bachram, what you're telling me is this person was known for fame his whole lifetime because he hit balls with sticks. And he made a lot of money from hitting balls with sticks. But when it comes to the Yom HaAchron, when it comes to the final day, what do you say? He did chesed. He says, even the goyim understand that when it comes to the final day, the godliness of the person is not that he hits balls with sticks. That he cares for somebody else, he does chesed to somebody else. So if a goy can understand the Kabbalah Karma, you should understand that before the Yom HaAchron. That was his Moshe Shmuz that he made out of the story. Right? Now, nowadays, just, you know, parenthetically, I've been to the Levi's where they get up and they say the stupidest things in the world. He loved golf! Like, you know, that's all you can say about this poor guy. He's here the last day of his life. He loved golf. That's so nice. Like, you know, did he ever do anything nice with his life? What did he come with his life? Right? But apparently, even in America, a few years ago, they still weren't holding him that much rego. So there was the definite. So the person has gevurah. So what do you do with your gevurah? There's tremendous things you can accomplish with gevurah. You can become this movie star and then use that to make kids feel happy. Right? So you could become. What do you do with the if the purpose is just the physical reality? So Chazal say tachas hashemesh, there's no milo, but the milo and hashemesh yesh yisra lechokh. If you don't limit yourself by the physical reality of shemesh. To be honest, it's the worm, the ruchnius, the malam and hashemish, ish the malam is Yisrael. Okay. So that's what it means that it's the matana min hashemayim. That's what it means. It's bekachatar. Now we still have to be masber what it means when it says that a person is zocha. One of them is zocha, but not the chemnas kol olam. Next paragraph. He takes what he's been given, his talents and his abilities and his gifts, and he uses that. Now he wants to take it a little bit homiletically. The truth is that these three things really can express the person. Chochma is the seichel of the person. Gevura is kavishas midos alech. As I'll say, is a gibra kavishas yitzroy. Means the void of a person's lifetime of acting the proper way. And oishur is a kelim mechutz la'adam. He uses the Kaikha of Chokhmah to see the Chokhmah of the Bria, to learn the lessons, give directions. He can use Chochma. Everything really can find a way to Chochma. Luma Mikol Olam as Chochmosi Yisbara. So that's the Chochma. The Gibor can take all, which means the Kabbalah says Yitzhar, he's saying, can take everything in the world as an opportunity for growth over, to overcome his midas. So the Bereshit gives a person Caleb. Rav Dessler writes in one place, he says, you know, there's a bit of Yerusha. Is Yerusha logical?
Inheritance, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, why is it logical?
Parents want to provide for their children.
Okay, but let's say that there's no children, that goes to the brother, it goes to the grandfather, it goes to the uncle. Right? So there are parts of Yerusha which wouldn't necessarily meet that approach.
Right, but that's not. But that's only because you don't have the children, so you have to do something with their property. What do you want to do to leave their property?
Maybe it might be hefker. A person owns something. When a person dies, it's hefker.
Good. That's an option.
The point I'm getting at is that the person owns something. He bought it. Fine. So when he dies, it's gone. So just like when a ger dies, if he has no children, everything becomes hefker. So when a non-ger dies, let everything be hefker. Right? So there's a chiddush of a concept of Yerusha. So the chiddush says that the concept of Yerusha is the chiddush of kinyan. Kinyan is a chiddush. The idea of owning something, that it I get an ownership over something, and it becomes mine. We have a society which runs on that, so that's why it's not a chiddush to us. But it in some way becomes part of my reality. The din of Yerusha means, since it was part of me, so as much as my children are a continuation of me, it makes sense that it should go over to them. If it's just this very tenuous connection, it doesn't really become part of who I am. So logic would be that when I die, it should end. If it becomes part of my being, so we understand that there's a logic that we should find some way to maintain that reality. We can't keep you alive anymore, but this part of you, we could keep alive. So you keep it alive by extending it onto the family. Rabbi Ruchim says, but let's understand. So why is there such an idea of kinyan? Ruchim says a fascinating thought process. He says like this: we have idea of what's the difference between a lamda and a not a lamda when you learn a Gemara. So there's a lamda and a not lamda. Is a not lamda sees the case. A lamda takes the concept out of the case and is able to expand it and apply it to many, many cases. Right. So I learned the exact klagal b'din. Okay, it's klagal b'din. So what's the lomdus here? Why is that true? Why is it mechayel b'raya? Means that the Torah, by saying so, is putting its imprimatur on the concept of bailus. Owning something, the Torah recognizes the idea of ownership. Okay, great. So we figured out the lomdus. Next question is why does the Rishon recognize the idea of bailus? Why is that true? If I don't explain why that's true, I don't really understand the concept. So he says, and he said a fascinating thought, because Rosh created a world of chesed. Elam chesed yibane means Rosh created a world where the primary yisod of the world is chesed. So to be a part of a world of chesed means I also have to shaykh as a chesed. I can't do chesed unless I have what to give. So Rosh created Kinyan as a vehicle to be able to become givers. That's the whole purpose of Kinyan, he said. says the reason why communism will fail is communism took away the idea of ownership. So you can't be a nursen anymore. And you see that's what happened. Communism created a society of takers. Everybody's busy trying to get take for themselves.
Right.
Because you took away the whole vehicle of giving. But if I understand that the lumdus of the concept of bialis is the Bresham Differ has a vehicle to allow us to become givers, so now I have Osher, what do I do with it? Spend it for myself. Right? That's you push it in the cup. It's not coming by Kerech HaTorah. The Kerech HaTorah is the vehicle for me to understand what it's supposed to be, what this is all about. I can be a brilliant guy. What do you do with it? Lomoid or Lamed. If I just do a Lomoid without Lamed, I don't understand. I mean, I'm not using Chokhmah the way the Bresham gave it to me. The Torah is able to define for me the parameters of how you're supposed to use the Matana. If I don't use it, Bekarech HaTorah means I'm not using the Torah, give me the definition of what's supposed to do with it. I don't really have the Matana. Because if I take Osher and I spend it on myself, and the whole purpose of giving Osher was that you should become a better giver, it's almost like I didn't have the Osher. What did I get out of it? So I think that's the nekuda of that if I use it Kiroi, I've found the vehicle of Chemnes Kol Olam. I found the vehicle of getting into the Bresham allowed me, this is my vehicle of coming in and connecting to him. Okay, let's hold that for that. I want to look at one other piece. So the reason why it's here in the gate of the Parsha is because the Bnei Gadol Reuven were faulted that their interest in money, as it were, severed their relationship with the rest of the Shvatim. So it means that they were not looking at the vehicle of their moment as a vehicle of connection. The vehicle of moment became a vehicle of being disconnected. And that's because I was faulting with that, etc. I want to look over here at a piece from the South Amis.
The opposite of what? The Ruvi and God are supposed to be the opposite of what? That they what basically went for disconnection by taking the land. And I think the wording might be similar. But.
Okay. But in the Medrash, it's seeing it's faulting them. Okay. So in the beginning of Masih, we have the Membeis. We have the Torah goes through the Membeis Masos. So the Sosthenes is very busy with this. Just want to see two pieces on it. Page 322. So Tav Resh Mem Gimel. The Medrash, Berech Mashichel Shabbos. So the Medrash goes through a halachic discourse, and at the end of this, it's a halachic issue. So why is it here? Ha'inyan. Why are we discussing this halacha of the person's a bereach and he's in danger? Is he allowed to be mechal the Shabbos? The halacha is a person who's near from the guy is allowed to be mechal the Shabbos to save his life. If he has to run away on Shabbos to save his life, he's allowed to do so. So the Torah described earlier that the process of Klai Yisrael going from place to place was in each place that they came to, there was a reason why they had to be there. There was some challenge which Klai Yisrael was going to be afforded in that place. And by overcoming the challenge, they made themselves that much more deserving of the going into Eretz Yisrael. So that refers to fighting with the Sitrach, or fighting with the Yetzer Hara, fighting with the challenge which is there. And the pasuk says, which was referring to Kaisel when they would travel. So what Oyvim we're talking about? The Oyvim we're talking about is this meter raw, this Yetzirah, which Kaisel had to overcome in that place. So this was a symbolic process of, you know, it was the of the process of Kaisel will go through Golas. So if we understand that each stage of Golas, so Kaisel comes to a Golas in, let's say for argument's sake, Kaisel goes to Paras. So Chazal say Paras was a place which was they were steeped in taiva. They were fat like bears, and they were, more goes the whole list of things that they were like bears. They're just busy gorging themselves. So we have the story of Klaiyosel being invited to the Suda. We have the story of the Avashti and Achashverosh and the conversation which it talks about, you know. Sounds like modern society, right? And all which comes with that. So why is Kleisel there? It means Kleisel has to be forced to be in a place which is steeped in taiva and grapple with that and overcome it. When they do that, they'll get a gula from that makom and they'll go to the next challenge. So you pass this test, you go to the next test. So that's the process of golas. So there's a meter of the bubble was represented the meter of the desire for power and desire for tzicha, etc. So Klai Yisrael, we have that challenge also to some extent. Okay, so we have to be challenged with that. And each stage of the Golas means there's we're going to come to a place where there is potential for Ra, which we need to overcome and to learn how to deal with it. And when we accomplish all of that, we're taking all of the different challenges, overcoming them, and now Mashiach can come. That's the process. So the Elamas Ibn Yisrael, it's not referring to necessarily what was then. These are going to be the travels of Klai Yisrael. This is the journeys of Klai Yisrael through the world. Okay, and Oz Hoya Bedakus, the Klai Yisrael was doing it then in a very ephemeral way, type of a way. The challenge was on a very, when we say a person has to grapple with taiva, so we can understand that it's taiva is distracting. Taiva is a focus, is the idea of using Olam Hazeh just as a vehicle for itself, as opposed to a vehicle to taste the Kaddish Baruch Hu and feel His goodness and feel the connection. So I can indulge in this world, or I can get pleasure from this world in a way which is of Avodas Hashem. I can taste in the geshmak of an apple and everything in the crunch and the sweetness and in the smell. I can taste the Kaddish Baruch Hu's chesed. So I feel His chesed. He made such a delicious thing. So then my taiva, the more I'm enjoying it, quote unquote, the more is enhancing my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Or I could just eat an apple. I have to enjoy my apple very much. I have pretty bad musagim, if that's what excites me. Anyway, you understand that there are different things which can entice a person. So some people are enticed by more coarse things. Some people find that's repulsive to them. They're not interested in that. But they are enticed by more fine things. So the tzaddik, his challenge is he's not drawn. He has no taiva to say, you know, let's sit there and have a 3-pound steak. You know, it just doesn't tempt him. I mean, the havdol, you know, you understand the same way it's true in the physical sense. A person has. Somebody, you know, I have my spelt. I can eat spelt. Wheat. I have problems with wheat. Like, aren't you know? My wife, Kanan Har, is a very good baker. You've tasted my wife's cakes over the years, right? Right. something that, you know, it doesn't, I can tell you, I don't have time for it anymore. Like, I know the reaction I'll get from it.
Right.
So therefore, it doesn't tempt me. So the tzaddik, you know, understands that the coarse things of this world just don't tempt him. It doesn't mean there aren't areas of taiva that he has in a very, very refined way where he might be challenged. So the tzaddik is grappling with taiva at his level, and the very coarse amoritz is grappling with taiva at his level. They're both grappling with taiva. So I could say that the tzaddik's process of grappling with taiva on his level is a mushal to understand what's happening with this person happening in a very coarse way. So Klaisel and Nermadrega, the third day of the Midbar, were grappling with whatever these places represented. Each one of these places represented a challenge. They were dealing with it in a very, very refined way. It's a mushal for what we're going to be dealing with America 2018. With all of the nisyanis that America 2018 represents, whether it's, you know, it's kavod, or it's taiva, or it's kina, or it's all three plus more, right? So they also grappled with, you know, on a much higher level of refinement. So the physical representations of these things were bottle. Like it says, the nachash, the akrav, these type of things were gone. Okay, now Pi Hashem Yachal, Pi Hashem Yisso. So what's it mean? Pi Hashem Yachal, Pi Hashem Yisso. So being the idea of being a state of being in a machane is also connected to the idea of the state being the state of manucha, that. It's the same letters, just moved around. It's a state of rest. It's a state of being in your mind, not physical. The state of manucha is a mind concept of a state of rest. It's a state of that I don't feel. You can have people which are resting, which are not in a state of rest. They're anxious about the situation. They're worried about it. You know, and there's a state of manucha which a person is relaxed. So Pi Hashem Yachal, Pi Hashem Yisso means that even when they were in a state of being noiseya, they were in a state of being a machana. Shagama bechinas hamasos ubricha shahoyi berchem imakal makam im kozeh hoyi etzlam and hamanucha. Vatsu lechal Shabbos kedisa begemara. Kisim esel Pi Hashem kisim hamanas livus kamedami. So where do I see this concept? So there's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says like this. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Shita is, we discussed this once. I told you over this word from Rav Chaim Shalevitz. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi says that the malacha of Soyser, it's a kilko. It's destructive. Can't be chayv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you're Soyser, I'm not slivdois. So the purpose of the destruction was to create a better building afterwards. Right, so that's not destructive. That's constructive. It's part of the process of construction. So the Tanakhama says, well, what about I'm not going to reconstruct it here. I'm going to take the materials and construct it somewhere else. But if the second building, taking the materials from the first building, building the second building, will be a better state than the first one, so that's still constructive. Rashi says no. It's that very nice that these materials built the second building, but vis-a-vis the first building, it was destructive. If you rebuild this in the same place, in a better way, that's constructive. I need to remove this structure to make this, and these materials to make the same structure in the same place better. Oh, so that's constructive. So the only kai by Sir Samanas Livna Spim Karmay. So where it says 1 second. All the malachas you learn from the Mishkan. The Mishkan, when did they have Soyser? When they took apart the Mishkan to go to a new place. So by definition, Stira was always Zamanas Livnas Shlomim Kaimai. So how come you have to say you need him Kaimai? So more answers. Kiva the Siva, Pia Shem Yisoh, Pia Shem Yachano, Pia Shem Yisoh, Kamanas Livnas Kaimai Dami. That's the worst teretz. It's like the same place. Because it's Al Pi Hashem. So what does that mean? So Chaim Shlomit says like this. It says we have to define terms of location. A person gets on the bus from Tel Aviv and travels to Yerushalayim. He says, okay, so we got on the bus, he's in Tel Aviv. And now he's in Yerushalayim. Let's say a woman gets on the bus with a baby in her arms. I ask you, where's the baby? The baby is his mother's arms. Now the bus drives from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. I ask you, where's the baby? The answer is his mother's arms. No, it's not. The baby was in Tel Aviv and now it's in Yerushalayim. No, the definition of the place of the baby is in its mother's arms. So there's certain times where physical place is not how you define a reality. So the Chazal is saying when the Midbar Klaisel moved up here Hashem, Yisov, Hisham Yachanu, that means that the physical place wasn't really the definition of where they were. They were in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arms. That didn't change. So Salman Asidim is comment on me. That's how the Rav Chaim Shlomit says Mazbir Gemara. It's awesome. He's from Rav Chaim Shlomit. So he's saying the point over here is saying we didn't really move, which means the Gemara is saying that there was an element of the state of Menucha. Even when they had to travel, they didn't feel that they're moving. They felt in a state of rest. They felt in a state of the Menucha, which is this conceptual idea of the person feeling that he is not, he's there, he's not going. Menucha means, the real concept of Menucha is, you're at your final goal. I'm not going anywhere, I'm there. I don't have anywhere to go. So that's what Menucha is. So the state of being in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms is, I'm there. So I don't have anywhere to go. I physically have to move, but I don't feel that as being, in some way it's taking away from my reality of that I am there already. Traveling means you're no longer at a state of rest. There was manucha with them as they went. So the nakuda of that the masos are teaching us at their madrega, but really the point when I take it to our madrega, as Klaiso goes through the golus, or each person goes through their steps in their life, their stages in their life. And we feel, okay, each one is a new stage with a new challenge, with a new situation. And I never dealt with this before. I feel overwhelmed. Yes, the Rosh Hashanah is bringing you to this place because he wants you to this situation, because he wants you to have this challenge now to learn to deal with that as part of you as a person will expand and grow because of the new situation. But your reality never changed. Your function never changed. So your reality never changed. Your function was that you need to go through these stages of life to overcome them, to become the better person that you can therefore be in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you. That's the journey he's taking you through life. See, he's bringing you to each place for you to do that. So it's not many different things. It's all one thing. But you never really left anywhere. A person goes through a ropes course. So there's the part where he's scaling the tree, and there's a part where he's going through, you know, walking on nets, and there's a part where he's swinging. But the point is, you need to develop all of these skills to be a person who can be a woodsman. And we're going to give you 17 different challenges to be a woodsman. At the end of the day, what did you accomplish? Well, no, I accomplished being a woodsman. It's one accomplishment. I went through many different stages of it. So if there's one accomplishment, I need to become the individual with my talents and my abilities and my role, and I need to expand all of those abilities, and I'm going to go through different masos of life to get to that point, but I never really left anywhere. The circumstances changed, but I never really moved anywhere. So that's the point that he's saying. Okay, you know what? One more piece over here, just very quickly, in the Tavresh Mandalit. So stresses that these are the what they left Mitzrayim. They only left Mitzrayim the first one. Right? After that, they're not all Yetzias Mitzrayim. We did 42 stops.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all Yetzias Mitzrayim? The positive seem to say yes, that these were all the steps of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tola kasa masos b'tzias Mitzrayim l'hodia kosh Yetzias Mitzrayim ha'isa gula l'daris. Each one represented a dangerous place, etc. So, well, you call it Tzarchadaris. So, the same idea which we're saying over here. So that he understands the connection back to Yetzias Mitzrayim was that each one represented a stage of accomplishment, which you basically, it's a geula. Rav Elber writes that the idea of a geula is when you're given a challenge and you overcome it, that's a state of geula. So Kaiser was challenged with Yavin. He was challenged with the Chochmah of Yavin. Chochmah of Yavin was very enticing. Because it was Chochmah, Kaiso enjoyed Chochmah. There's the only time you find there was a deal of people assimilating and becoming like them is by Yavim, Mis Yavnim. There are no Mis Bablim, there's no Mis Parsim, and there's no Mis Admim. You don't find such a Nusach anywhere. We find Mis Yavnim. Kaiso was very drawn to the deal of Chochmah, because that's Kaiso. So there's elements of their Chochmah which Kaiso was drawn to. They became Mis Yavain. When Klai Yisrael recognized that that's not what it's all about, and they came to that real clear akara, there is a certain amount of that clarity which remained forever. That's the gula of Chanukah. So that's why you can celebrate that. So each stage, right? I was thinking just, I guess, I'll pidrush a little bit. The way we were saying before, that it is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Klai Yisrael was leaving the Mitzrayim to go to the final Tachlis, which is Eretz Yisrael. So it's years later, and it's many steps further away, but it's all one process.
Right.
It's all one journey. Each stage of the journey, which are the challenges they have over there, yes, there's a new Mucham over there, and there's a new challenge, and a new thing I have to accomplish, and now I can tick off that on my list that I accomplished that, now I can go further in my journey. It's all one long journey. It doesn't end. If I can quote my Tolkien the years, right? I remember the exact Nusach where he says, you know, that when you walk out your door and you go into the road, going into the road is a very dangerous thing because this road goes on forever and ever and it can lead you to very many, many places. Something like that.
It's a dangerous thing to step out your door.
Step out your door, right. So, for us it's not a dangerous thing, that's what life is about. But when you step out your door, it's many stages on that, it's all one long road. Okay, well, I see you have a kiss in that. So that's number one. Number two, the word Mitzrayim, he himself writes in one place, you know, more than one place, it says the word Mitzrayim is connected to the word Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means limits. So the state of being Klai Yisrael Mitzrayim was that they were limited. They weren't able to expand to be who they're supposed to be. So all of this is Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's all the stages of that person moving out of the limits which were imposed upon him and being challenged and growing and developing into who he's supposed to accomplish, so who he's supposed to be. So that it's all you see, it's right. That's what I was thinking. Okay.